Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, and also we broadcast on Rapture Ready Radio on Blog Talk Radio with many wonderful hosts there, especially Jackie Alnor, who has her Scattered Sheep Report, and I encourage you to go and listen and be edified by the many wonderful programs. And don't forget our book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? Can we pay God off for blessings? I don't think so. How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. So those things are out there on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, and on Lulu. So also our YouTube channel, Susan Puzio, and our website, propheticnews.com. So it's very, very interesting. Now we're having an election coming up in about 10 days. And I've never seen anything quite like this election. So many ins and outs and drama, and it'll be interesting to see what God gives us in the end. I know I have my favorite candidate, and I did vote. I don't tell anybody to vote or not to vote. That's your business if you vote. So, but I did vote, and I wanted to just go over a few things. If you're going to vote, let me just make you aware of a few things. Because remember back in, I think it was, when was Bush and Gore? Yikes, was that 2000, the 2000 election, when George W. Bush was running against Al Gore? And in the end, it looked like Bush won the election on election night, and Gore conceded the election, which means he calls Bush and he tells Bush that he's conceding that he lost. But anyway, what happened was a few minutes later, Al Gore says that he's not conceding the election. So I never saw anything quite like that. That was the oddest thing I had ever seen. And we didn't know I don't remember if it was a month or how long it went on anyway, where we didn't really have a president elect because Al Gore was suing and they demanded a recount, and it went back and forth. It went to the Florida Supreme Court. It wound up in the United States Supreme Court finally, and what happened in that election, because a lot of people say, well, you can't rig an election and you can't, there's no such thing as voter fraud. Well, there is such a thing as voter fraud. And what happened there, though, in that election was that George W. Bush wound up winning the state of Florida by 500 and something votes. That's how close it was. So it was a very, very close election. It was very, very odd, especially in my lifetime. I never saw anything like that where the person that supposedly lost, which was Al Gore, he wouldn't concede the election. And he proceeded to sue, and that was amazing, really. It was really amazing. So expect anything to happen with this election. And all there's already people who have already voted by absentee ballot, and they're already beginning to vote because now they have early voting. And so some people have reported, and this is true, this is not something one of the candidates made up, that when they vote, say, especially when they're voting for Donald Trump, the vote switches on the machine, and they wind up voting for Hillary Clinton, even though they didn't vote for her. So when you go to vote, here's a couple of things that you might want to look out for. There's two types of voting machines. There's a Smartmatic voting machine, which has been associated with a man named George Soros, who's a globalist and a one-world government kind of person. Anyway, he has a connection to these Smartmatic voting machines, which are available in 16 states. I can't name off all the 16 states right now, but if you want to, go to you can do a search on the internet and you can find out about what states have these Smartmatic voting machines. But anyway, these are it's claimed by a few voters that when they've used this particular machine, it switched their vote. So when you vote, make sure that you get a printout, and you can ask, they have people that are at the polls, poll watchers. Ask the person if it's a Smartmatic machine or a Dominion machine, two particular machines, ask them for a printout of your vote, which they can print out who you really voted for and the time, so that you'll know that it was your vote and that your vote will not be lost. Also, you can ask for a paper ballot when you go to the poll so that you don't have to use the machine. And these following states, Delaware, Georgia, Louisiana, New Jersey, and South Carolina will not allow you to have a paper ballot. But the other states should allow you, if you decide you don't want to use the machine, that you can have a paper ballot that you can fill out. Also, they said another thing that you might want to look out for is look out for buses, because they claim that they do bus people in to vote in different counties. And how they can do that is sometimes when you move, you might be, say you lived in Georgia and then you moved to Florida. If you didn't notify the supervisor of elections in Georgia, when you move to Florida, they're not going to know that when you register to vote in another state that you're already registered in Georgia. So that's how people can rig the system there. They can also, if somebody dies, the supervisor of elections doesn't know that. It's very odd that in this day and age of supercomputers and all the information that we have, that counties can't find out who died in their county and take them off the voter rolls, but they don't. Unless you notify the supervisor of elections yourself, or the county notifies them, your name will remain on the voting rolls, and people can be sent ballots like that. So that's how they say dead people vote. Dead people vote. And but their relatives usually are the ones that vote for them. So those are a couple of things you might want to look out for when you go to vote. So if you do decide to vote in this election, that you'll make your vote count. And it's going to be very, very interesting what happens, because we have one candidate, and we're talking about lawlessness today. So we see what's happening in the world, especially in the area of politics, where we have people coming into our country who are illegal, They're not supposed to be here, and yet the government really does basically nothing about the issue. And then you have people saying, well, we can't deport these people, and they're so afraid they're going to be deported. Well, they don't belong here in the first place. They violated the law by coming here, but yet you have people saying, well, that's okay. They deserve to stay. They're here now, so they deserve to stay. And it doesn't matter that they violated the law. Well, it matters if we violate the law, right? If we violate the law, we might get prosecuted. We might. Now, about a month or so ago, I was driving down the highway, and it was about 8:30 at night. It was dark. And I was on a three-lane highway. I was going 60 miles an hour, which was the speed limit. And I was in the left lane, the far left lane, and I decided, well, I'm going to get over to the right because I'm going to just slow down a little bit. And I slowed down a little bit. I was going down into a dip, and I was coming up out of the dip, and I looked over to the right, and I saw two police cars. I saw the flashing lights. And they had pulled somebody over. So I'm driving by, and I think to myself, well, wow, somebody got pulled over. Oh, that probably bummed them out. So all of a sudden, I see flashing lights in back of me, and I'm thinking, wow, the cop must be going after somebody. But no, he was coming after me. And so I pull over, and I said, well, what's wrong? He said, well, you didn't move over when you saw our flashing lights. You're supposed to move over to the other lane. And I said, well, I'm sorry. I said, I've been driving for 50 years, and I never heard of a move over law. He said, well, there's a law called, in case you don't know this, so you don't make the same mistake I did, it's called the move over law, that if you're on a highway and there's a police car is on the, you know, on the side, or there's an emergency vehicle or something, you have to move over to the other lane, or you have to slow down 20 miles an hour. So if you're going 60, you have to slow down to 40. Okay? I don't know. Did you know about this law? I didn't know. I didn't know that this was a law. Okay? So I tell the police officer, I didn't know anything about it. I'm sorry. Didn't know a thing. And he comes back with a ticket. Yeah, he comes back with a ticket. And so if I don't pay the ticket, I'm guilty, okay? I don't have an out for this. And then if I decide I'm going to go to court and I tell the judge that, I'm sorry, judge, I was ignorant of the law, what do you think is going to happen to me? They're not going to find me not guilty. They're going to find me guilty. And I'm going to have to pay the fine, and then I'm going to have to pay the court costs. So what option did I have? Okay, I'm not Hillary Clinton, all right? Okay, Hillary Clinton. Now, for some of you, you wonder, well, what's all this about emails? Okay, it's not just about her emails. First of all, she was the Secretary of State of our country. She was in charge of the State Department for the United States government. She was the one, she says she didn't know that some documents were classified. No document could have gotten by Hillary Clinton without her knowing. Yeah, my white privilege. Yeah, driving while white. Yeah, thanks, Vince. Okay, no document would have gotten by Hillary Clinton and her not know it was classified, because she was the one that classified the information. She was in charge of the State Department. So any information that came in, she was the one that marked it classified. But she tells the American people she didn't know that some things were classified. Okay, that was a lie. All right, number one, that was a lie. She puts out her secret information over a unsecured internet server that's in her house that anybody could have hacked into, and people did hack into it. And this is the person that's running the State Department and in charge of foreign policy for our government. Then when the FBI found out that she had this server, which was illegal for her to have in her house, they subpoenaed her emails. And when you get a subpoena, now if it was you and I, okay, if it was you and I, just ordinary citizens, and we got a subpoena, it's like this ticket I got. I didn't have a choice, okay? I didn't have a choice. I was guilty, and I would have still been guilty even if I had gone to fight it. I would have still been guilty and had to pay the fine, even though I was unaware that I committed a moving violation. I had no idea. Okay, when Hillary Clinton gets a subpoena, what does she do? She destroys the evidence. So you hear this thing about 33,000 emails. She destroyed the evidence that was under subpoena. Yeah, she got rid of it. Well, then the FBI investigates her. Now, this is the Federal Bureau of Investigation, right? We trust, we're supposed to trust the FBI that they're nonpartisan and they're going to do a job. Well, the director of the FBI comes out with his ruling, and he says, well, she didn't really know it was a crime, so since she didn't know it was a crime, we're not going to indict her. Well, I didn't know that I didn't know about the move over law, okay? I didn't know about the move over law, but I was guilty. I was guilty. It wasn't good enough that I told the police officer, I'm sorry, officer, I never heard of the law. Never heard of it. Been driving 50 years. 50 years. He says, well, it's been all over the news. I said, well, I'm sorry, but I never heard about it. Did you ever hear about it? Can somebody tell me, did you ever hear about this law? Anybody out there listening, did you ever hear about this law? Never heard about it. No, nope, never heard about it. So, anyway, but she, because she's Hillary Clinton, okay, she gets away with committing a crime. She gets away with lying to the FBI. He said that she didn't tell the truth. You heard, go back and look at the video. You'll see the director of the FBI, Comey, you will see him testifying before Congress, And the one gentleman, Trey Gowdy, I think his name is, terrific prosecutor, by the way. And he says, now, were there classified documents on her server? And the FBI director says, yes, there were. Okay, Hillary Clinton said there wasn't. She didn't have any classified information. Okay, that's lie number one, all right? Martha Stewart, remember Martha Stewart? Martha Stewart went to jail a few years ago. She was in prison, Martha Stewart. Why did she go to jail? Because she told one lie to the FBI. She went to jail, Martha Stewart, the billionaire, the queen of decorating, the queen of cooking TV. They put her in jail. And who put her in jail? Who put her in jail? Now, wait till you hear this one. Comey put her in jail. Comey, not Hillary Clinton. Oh, no. She got away with it because he said she didn't know she was committing a crime. She knew exactly what she was doing. Look, she knew exactly what she was doing. And then this is the person, this is one of the people that running to be president of our country. Lawlessness. Okay, the law is good enough for you and me if we disobey the law. Yeah, it's good enough for citizens of this country. People that aren't citizens of this country, the law doesn't apply. Come on in. And you want to stay here? We'll just give you amnesty. We won't teach you that this is a nation of laws. If there's no laws, now if God didn't have his word, and his word is a law book also, it's a guidebook for how we were supposed to live our lives. So if God didn't have a law book, what would happen? what would happen? We're already seeing so much lawlessness in the church, lawlessness in the world, and calling good evil and evil good. And you have these Kool-Aid drinkers, you see these commentators on the news, and they're saying, she didn't do anything wrong, and the FBI found out, said in July that she didn't do anything wrong. Well, she did do something wrong. She had a subpoena, and you know what a subpoena is. It's like, here's your subpoena. You better do what we say. We want your computer. We want your TV. We want your bank account. We want all that, and you better hand it over. And if you don't hand it over, you're guilty of obstruction of justice and destroying evidence. Those are crimes. Those are crimes. So whether or not they said she committed crimes, she committed crimes. These are crimes. If you and I committed these crimes and we didn't have a good attorney, guess where we would be? There was a mother on Fox News this morning, very interesting. Her son, I guess he must have been a sailor because he was on a submarine. And he took 6 pictures with his cell phone of the submarine. Now, he didn't know that he wasn't supposed to do this. And he was brought up on charges of exposing national security secrets by taking 6 pictures of the inside of the submarine. He's in jail now for a year in a federal prison, in a federal prison. So how fair is that? Remember the statue, we see the statue of justice and the scales are tipped, but she's got a blindfold on because justice is supposed to be blind. It's supposed to apply to everybody. And when we don't have laws and we don't enforce our laws, and if the laws are only good for some people, but they're not good for average, everyday, hardworking people, what good are laws? What good are the laws? So then you have this bombshell that drops yesterday that the FBI has reopened the investigation into the Clinton emails. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens, okay? We'll see what happens. But I don't know, maybe the Russians did it. No, it can't get any more bizarre because then you have this other group of Kool-Aid drinkers that they blame everything on the Russians. Maybe it was the Russians that did it. Maybe it was Donald Trump. Maybe Donald Trump did it. Maybe Donald Trump deleted Hillary's emails. But it's like the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out, that every hidden work of darkness will be brought to light. So it's going to get very, very interesting in the next few days, and we're going to see what's going to happen. I can hardly wait for Election Day because I can't wait to see what's going to happen. There is no telling because you have this woman who's power hungry, a power hungry woman who will lie, cheat, steal, do whatever. You can go and look at there was a video that she did a few years ago where she claims that when her and Bill left the White House, because Bill Clinton was the president, Bill Clinton, her husband, was the president. He was impeached. He lost his law license because of things that he was doing of a sexual nature, which I won't go into here. But anyway, so this is a woman that has all been dreaming of being the first female president of the United States, and she will do anything. So I wouldn't put anything past this woman at all. Only God knows the hearts of these people. He truly knows the hearts of these people that are running, but eventually one of the two will be the president. And so there has to be a president of this country. And yes, Vince, yeah, it is very odd that Hillary Clinton was even allowed to run to be president of this country with the fact of what happened with her her email server, which was illegal to have, and then the fact that they destroyed the evidence that was under subpoena and lied to the FBI. It's all very, very strange, but it's all a sign of the times that we live in, these very, very strange times where there's laws that apply to some people and then there's laws that don't apply. And so very strange. But also we have a candidate that wants open borders. In other words, anybody can come into this country, that they can walk right in. And anybody that wants to be here can be here. Well, you can't have just anybody walking in to the country. You have to know, we have to know who's here. And they have a situation in France now, a very odd situation. They allowed, I think it was, there was 5,000 refugees, and I think they were Syrian refugees, if I'm not mistaken, but they came into Calais, France, which is a seaport town, and they set up this, they called it the jungle. They set up this camp. Now, imagine this, 5,000, you're living in a little seaside town, and all of a sudden 5,000 people come over on boats, and they're camping out in your town. And they're putting up tents. Now, just imagine, you're living there all your life. You worked all your life. You're on a pension. You're on Social Security. You've got your little cottage by the sea. And all of a sudden, next door in the empty lot, there's 100 tents that pop up. Well, this is the situation in France. So they had enough. They finally had enough. I guess the people of Calais had enough. And they told all these people they had to leave, and they bulldozed the camp. And so now, what do you do? Now, what do? You have 5,000 people, over 5,000 people with nowhere to go. Do you think that the French government would send them back to where they came from, maybe? No. Now what they're doing is some of them have gone to Paris. Now imagine this. They've gone to Paris. And they've set up their tent city in Paris. So guess what's coming to a town near you? If you happen to live in a big town, now if you have a president that believes in open borders, coming to a city near you is a tent city. If you live in a big city, which is usually where a lot of these aliens go, coming to a city near you will be tent cities. Now, when I was in South Africa in the 1990s, I was in Cape Town, and the people that were hosting my visit, they took me out to a town, which was basically a tent city there, and they showed me some of their problems that they were having with people walking into their country. People were walking in from other parts of Africa, and they were coming and they were squatting. So say you had an empty lot next to your house, they would just come and squat. They would set up a tent or a lean-to or whatever, and they would just live on the property. And we're seeing that even in the county that I live in, some of the foreclosed homes and the abandoned homes, people just squatted. And which means they just go and they live there and they don't pay rent. They just go take over somebody else's property. Now, how does this happen? How do things like this happen? And this situation in South Africa, there was thousands of people living in these camps. And of course, you know, when people are poverty stricken and they don't have enough, what happens? If they're not saved, for the most part, they want to get what you have. Okay, that's what socialism is, and communism is. Whatever you work for all your life, now you have to share it with some stranger. Well, I don't particularly want to share with you unless I feel that I'm supposed to share with you. I don't want anybody forcing me to share with you. I don't think so. But this is basically what socialism is. So there was also a big uproar this past week over this unaffordable Care Act. That's what I'm going to call it, the Unaffordable Care Act. Who is it benefiting, really? Because, for instance, my parents are elderly and worked all their life. They had their Medicare and then they had their supplemental insurance from their work. Up until a few years ago, they paid the both of them a $600 a year deductible, which went up to $3,400 a year. They had no choice. They had to pay it if they wanted their supplemental insurance. So it was on Medicare that decided to up their deductibles. So why should elderly people that worked all their life then all of a sudden have to be burdened with paying thousands of dollars more for their health care so somebody else could have health care who doesn't work? Or they're not really talking about this as much as they should. They're saying now the premiums are going to go up again. I hate to see what's going to happen. They already went up. What is that? 500% from $600 to $3,400 in a deductible? Look, if you want health care, one of the best things you can do is try to take care of yourself, make sure that you're doing the right thing to try to stay healthy, number one, use preventative medicine. And then if you need health care, well, it's your responsibility. It's not the government's responsibility to take care of you, or your neighbor has to take care of you. I don't get it. I mean, I don't get all these entitlements. It's not fair. But yet, let's have more socialism. Let's have more communism. It's just like the church, okay? The church, these apostate churches, they basically run the same way. Is you have a leader who lives off the fat of the land. He lives off the 10% that comes in that he demands that you give him so he can fulfill his vision. And you're there in the congregation, and you're just getting by, and you're told that it's basically a Ponzi scheme is what it is. It's multi-level marketing because only the person at the top is usually the one that's making out. So they tell you that, give us your 10% and sow your seeds and everything's going to be okay. So it's lawlessness, though. It's lawlessness because God doesn't have to do anything for you. He doesn't have to pay you back. He doesn't have to obey you. What do we need a God for if we can order him around and pay him off? So we have the same kind of Ponzi scheme, socialism schemes in the work. The best thing in the church, the best thing you can do in churches is to help people get jobs, is to teach people to work, because the Bible says that if you don't support your own household, you're worse than an infidel. So it's your responsibility. Look, nobody told you to get married. Nobody told you to get married and have a family. Nobody told you to do that. You did it because you wanted to. So why do you expect somebody else to take care of your family that you made and your children? That's your responsibility as a Christian, especially, is to take care of your own business. And don't be bothering everybody else with your problems that you made, okay? If you made them, then you need to figure out a way to get yourself out of them without telling everybody else about all your problems so maybe they'll feel sorry for you and do something for you. Well, no, that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. We have to be responsible. And there's some situations that come up with, you know, people do get sick and things do happen to people that are beyond their control. And so then, oh, yeah, of course, by all means, we should be helping them. But just to go out and just have, you know, children and not be married, and then the church is responsible for taking care of you, or the government is responsible for taking care of you. But that's not the way it works. We need to be people of integrity. We need to be have a testimony to the world of the fact that we work, we pay our bills, we're honest, we walk upright, and all those things are very, very important. Now, another thing that, have you noticed lately all the new government regulations, regulations now? For instance, the new faucets, like you go to Home Depot or you go to Lowe's, you want to buy a faucet for your kitchen sink or your bathroom sink. The only kind of faucet that you can buy now, for the most part, is a low-flow faucet. Now, I hate low-flow faucets, okay, especially in my kitchen. The water comes out slow. It comes out. And so now you don't have a choice, okay? You don't have a choice if you want to conserve water. They're forcing you. They're forcing you to conserve water because now you have to have a low-flow faucet, whether you want one or not. And also, now they're giving you these new light bulbs, okay? They want you to buy these new light bulbs. Now, remember when we used to buy light bulbs? They were like 50 cents each. You could buy three packs of light bulbs. It cost you $1.50, something like that. Now you go to buy, you could buy one light bulb, might cost you $2 or $5 or $7. And they're saying to you, you're going to save energy. I'm going to save energy. I don't know. I mean, I like 50 cents. And I've had light bulbs in my house that I had for 15 or 20 years. They didn't burn out. So I don't know how I'm saving energy by I paid 50 cents for a light bulb, and now you want me to pay $7 for a light bulb? Oh, and then, no, they're doing away with incandescent light bulbs. So if you want your favorite kind of light bulb, you better stock up. Before it's too late, you won't be able to buy them anymore. No, you can't. They don't want you to have them. And not only that, but the new light bulbs have mercury in them. So if you break one of those light bulbs, you have mercury in your house. Go look up how hard it is to clean this up. It's toxic. So, yeah, I don't want your light bulbs. You can keep your light bulbs. I don't want your mercury. I like my incandescent bulbs. Stock up. And, Vince says his light bulb costs $10 and he hasn't seen a difference in his electric bill. It's true. It's true. So, also, they have the new low-flow toilet. And most people say they have to flush them several times. What's the use? Are you saving any water? Oh, please. You know, they have all these crazy government regulations, And but the thing is, we're getting all these products that are being imported from China, mainly from China, I'll say, and nobody's regulating these products that are coming in here. Exploding airbags. Imagine, you've got an airbag in your car, and you're thinking to yourself, I am protected now because I have an airbag. What's happened is these airbags are blowing up and killing people because they have metal parts in them that are coming loose, and it's like shrapnel going into their bodies, and they're dying from the airbags. Who was regulating that? Who was regulating that? Who was regulating these new washing machines by Samsung that are exploding? Now, could you imagine you're doing your laundry and all of a sudden your washing machine explodes? Who ever heard of these things? Who's regulating that? What about the, and also dishwashers, yeah, clothes dryers catching on fire. Who's regulating that? Who was regulating the Chinese flooring? You think, oh, I'm going to put down a new floor in my house. And the new floors that were coming over from China. Look, they don't know what's going on in China because these factories are owned by the Chinese. Americans can't go over and start factories, open up factories there for the most part. They're run by the Chinese, and they don't have people overseeing what's going on there. So they were making these floors, laminate flooring, and people were putting it in their houses thinking, wow, I've got this beautiful new floor. And the stuff was so toxic that people were getting sick because of all the chemicals that the Chinese were putting in to the flooring. Who was watching out for us? Who's watching out for us, okay? Who's watching out for us? As it gets more and more ridiculous, and now eventually they want the Chinese to feed us. I don't want their food. No, thank you very much. Like, what's wrong with getting food from our own country? We have plenty of farmers right here. No, I don't want food coming over from China. I saw what they did to the flooring. And years ago here in Florida, somewhere around 2007, I think, they had a drywall shortage. Okay, when they build in Florida, when they're putting up walls, they frame the walls with wood, and then over the wall they put drywall. And they had this drywall coming from China, and the Chinese were adding water to the board, which they use a little bit of water to get this paper board, which is basically paper, really, this drywall. But, and anyway, they were using water from nuclear waste water. Nuclear waste water they were using in the drywall. And people were getting sick. Their pipes were corroding. Their walls were corroding. Lawlessness. Lawlessness, yet we have all kinds of consumer protection agencies here. And they're looking out for you, and we're going to protect you, and we've got all these regulations. You're going to have a low-flow faucet, and you're going to have a particular light bulb, and you have to have an airbag. And yet, no, who's looking out for us? Who's looking out for us? And meanwhile, people are putting things in their house, flooring, drywall, air conditioning systems. Check out your air conditioning system when you want to talk about toxic. Most of these new air conditioning systems that they use, if you look inside your furnace, or in Florida we have air handlers, it kind of looks like a furnace, but inside there they put insulation, and the insulation has formaldehyde in it, it has all kinds of chemicals so you don't get mold and whatever. Mine does, and I don't have anything in my air handler. I had one that was made without any insulation on the inside. We put non-toxic insulation on the outside. And otherwise, when you turn your heat on and that heat goes through your furnace or your air handler, the toxins come into your house. And lung cancer now is one of the leading cancers. And I speculate that people that don't smoke are getting poisoned by their furnace
Look inside your furnace sometime and see if it's insulated or your air handler. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. The air conditioning companies to tell them about the toxins in the insulation, they said, well, we're not going to take the formaldehyde out to until we sell all the insulation that we currently have. Once we sell out of the poison insulation, then we will have a formaldehyde-free version. Thanks a lot. Okay. Okay. Who's looking out for us? Where's the government? Where's the Consumer Protection Agency? You know, it's crazy. You know, this world, we live in a crazy, mixed-up world. Crazy, mixed-up world. And going to get crazier as time goes by. So I wanted to look at a few scriptures because the Bible always brings us back down to earth, right? The Bible brings us back down to earth, and we need God's word to help us get through these days that we're living in. But Exodus 23:8, and thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. This is talking about, these scriptures are talking about taking bribes. And we see in the natural world, in the world system, that people take bribes. And when they take bribes and they take gifts and they take $500,000 to go make a speech, they're going to feel obligated to the person that's giving them this money. And in essence, it's a bribe. And we see the same thing happening in churches. You see people running down on Sunday morning with their 10% and they're waving it at God like, you know, he's so impressed with your check. And they're basically doing the same thing in the churches. They're trying to bribe God and bribe the pastor, because in most of these churches, you have to be a member in order to get promoted or to get a position in the church. And one of the requirements usually is that you tithe and you give 10%. So it's a bribe. It's a bribe. Proverbs 15:27, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Proverbs 17:23, a wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. Yeah, we see enough of that, don't we? We see enough of that. Psalm 26:10, in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I thought it was funny, too, that the news media, they've been reporting, okay, there's one presidential candidate. She didn't use any of her personal money to fund her campaign. She's been well-funded by the globalists and the other Kool-Aid drinkers that are funding. So then you have the other candidate who has given $66 million of his own money, and yet the media is complaining that he didn't give enough. He's supposed to give $100 million of his own money to his campaign, and he only gave $66 million. Oh, I'm telling you, it is crazy out there. It is crazy out there. Deuteronomy 16:19, thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. Yes, it does. It does. Be careful. Be careful. Job 15:34, for the congregation of hypocrites shall be desolate, and fire shall consume the tabernacles of bribery. Yay. Amen to that. Amen to that. So these phony pastors and these phony preachers, and they expect you to pay them off to have a position in the church. They expect you to pay off God so that God will bless you. But does that money actually really go to God? I didn't know that God had any money in heaven. As far as I know, he doesn't have any money up there. He doesn't have any need of money. He created the world without money. He didn't need any money to create the world, did he? He did fine all by himself. And he doesn't need any money from you. You need money. You need money. You give money. We give money to each other to bless each other. It's a form of love when we give and we don't expect anything in return, when we just give because we want to be a blessing. It has nothing to do with buying favor from God, because you're not going to buy any favor from God if you only give because you want something back. No, that doesn't work. But that's what the lawless church will tell you. Give and you get something back. Now, nobody teaches their children that, right? We don't teach our children to do things like that, no. So why would God teach his children to do things like that? Doesn't make any sense. But the lawless church, the outlaws, will tell you something different. Psalm 101:7. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Oh, this one's good. Luke 8:17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Amen. Ephesians 4:25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Proverbs 12:19, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Proverbs 24:28, be not a witness against thy neighbor without a cause, and deceive not with thy lips. So, there you go. And God help us. You know, we know that we don't put our trust in earthly kingdoms and in we need good rulers. God does set people up, and he puts people down. And we'll see what happens as far as what happens with our country. It'll be interesting to see what happens, because personally, I don't like the direction they're going in. I don't like socialism. I don't like communism. I don't like anything that has to do with it. When you look at Europe, and they were trying to bring Europe under this one world system, and they also brought most of Europe under the euro, which is the currency. Years ago, every country had their own currency, and then they started to try to bring this one currency in. And they formed the European Union, and basically it took away the rights of the countries to make decisions, especially about immigration. And so months ago, the United Kingdom voted to withdraw themselves from the European Union. and once again be able to make their own decisions about how they were going to run their country. And so we'll see if we can get some kind of stability back. You know, God only knows what's going to happen. And he knows all about Hillary Clinton, and he knows all about Donald Trump. And we pray that God will have his way, and we'll see, won't we? We'll see what happens. But no matter what happens, we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and whatever time we have left here, we will try to get the gospel out and help people to realize that they have a Savior. And no matter what happens with the world system, the one world government, we know it's coming. We know this whole Antichrist system is coming upon us eventually. And so will God give us more time? I don't know. I really don't know what's going to happen. I just pray that God's will be done. And no matter what, the church is going to stay strong, and whatever the Lord gives us, we'll be able to handle it. So, anyway, God bless you all today, and I want to thank everybody that was in the chat room today. Thanks, everybody, for stopping by. And if you have any show ideas or questions, just email me, Susan@propheticnews.com. I do read all my emails. So, don't forget the most important thing today is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Ask him to come into your life today. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and give you a brand new life. Jesus said, you must be born again. First, you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God, the third chapter of John says. Read the book of Romans today. The book of Romans says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Jesus Christ is a real person. He was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. And he ascended into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he said he's coming again. Hallelujah. So we have a blessed hope. Thank you, everybody. God bless you today. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.